Thank you. Again, we come to you. Another few moments where you and I can get together day after day and think through the Scriptures. And in some way, the Spirit of God may open our minds and our hearts to the glories and the beauties and, shall I add, the sufficiency of Christ. Oh, that people would turn to Him. For once you and I get our eyes off our Savior, then we'll do something in the flesh that will not be very honoring to Him, that will not glorify Him. We will be ceasing the life of faith to live in the power and energy of the flesh, which always brings us into trouble. Now, the apostle here is dealing in the book of Galatians with the sufficiency of the gospel in chapters 3 and 4. And we have been dealing with the fact that justification by faith was experienced by these Galatian Christians. Only someone came along and bewitched them. And the result was they had lost their joy and their peace because they were looking at themselves instead of the Savior who died and rose again. For I tell you again, the salvation God gives to us starts in God, is continued by God, is going to be completed by God. You and I walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling, not by works. I'm not opposed to the works of faith. Please don't misunderstand me. Because I know there'll be some who will accuse us of teaching that now that you're saved forever by the grace of God through faith, you can go out and commit all the sins you want to. This has ever been the offense against the gospel. The Apostle Paul was accused of the same thing when he said, "What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." The more we see the grace of God, the more we realize the new life we have in Christ, the more we see the fact that we've been joined to Jesus Christ in an indissoluble union, the more we want to glorify and magnify Him. I tell you, my friend, the more your heart is burdened and distressed when you do something or say something that doesn't magnify Him or that dishonors Him or that affects some other believer in Christ. And we come to this book of Galatians, we're down to verses 10 to 12. We've just taken up the fact that these Galatian Christians had been justified by faith. Their own experience had taught them that in the first five verses. And then the illustration given to us by Abraham, who was the father of those who believe. He was justified when he was ungodly. He beheld the stars of heaven, and God said, "So shall thy seed be." God called him out of idolatry, revealed himself to him, and he believed God. He amen God. And the result was it was counted to him for righteousness many, many, many years before he was ever circumcised. I tell you, friends, are you a child of Abraham? Now, the sufficiency of the gospel is also testified to by the Scriptures. In verses 10 to 12, I'm going to read those verses again because they're so potent. "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them." We were discussing in our past lesson, verse 10, when Christians put themselves under the law, even as a rule of life, they put themselves under the curse of the law. For the moment you break the law, in one point you're guilty of all. And the law curses. It never blesses. It curses you. It does not say, "Blessed are those who do their best." But cursed are those who do not do the whole business all the time. And then in verse 11, the Scriptures declare that the law can never justify. No man at any time is ever justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You remember that this statement, "the just shall live by faith," is spoken of in four places in the Bible. But before we take it up, that first part of verse 11, we had it in chapter 2, verse 16. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The law can never justify. You remember Romans 3:20. With every man's mouth stopped, and the whole world guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, supposing I raise the issue, what if you did keep the whole law? What would you gain? Nothing. I'm living, for example, in the city of Portland. You're living in the city where you are. Does the policeman come along and pat you on the back because you're keeping the law? No, but brother, if you break the law, then you must meet the penalty that the law demands. Likewise, the law of God curses everybody who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But supposing, I say, you did keep the whole law, the law wouldn't bless you. What would you gain by it? Nothing. See, would I gain salvation? No. No. The law never saves. The law never blesses. The law shows no mercy. The law has no power to cause you to keep the law. It demands it, but does not give you the power to keep it. As we said yesterday in our lesson in Romans 8:3, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Even if one did become righteous by the law, it would never equal the righteousness of Christ, which you've already received by faith. May I repeat that statement? If one did keep the righteousness of the law, it would never equal the righteousness of Christ. And you've already received the righteousness of Christ when you believed and received him as your own personal Savior. Having been declared righteous by God, what can you add to it? No, friend, don't dishonor the work of Christ. Do not drag the gospel down into man's sphere of works, but rather revel in your Savior who was all sufficient for your need. And then you come to the end of the verse, this amazing little statement, for the just shall live by faith, or the just by faith shall live. You know, I said a moment ago, there are only four places in the New Testament, or in the Bible, I should say, where this statement is mentioned. It's first mentioned in the little prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith, never by the law. Romans 1:17, the gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Or, if I may change the wording, the just by faith shall live. And now mark verse 12. And the law is not of faith. You know, this is an astounding thing. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. See, they're opposites. The grace of God. Well, let me read you a verse. Save me quite a bit of time by just reading your verses once in a while. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, I read this statement. It's an amazing statement. If it's by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it be of works, if salvation be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't mix them. I'm not talking about the works of faith, what James talks about in James chapter 2. I'm talking about this question of our relationship to God. That if I bring anything in, however good, and tack that to the work of Christ which he's accomplished for me, then I ruin the gospel. It's no longer the grace of God. And you'll have some ground of glory in the presence of God if you can be saved and kept saved by your works. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. If you put yourself under the law, then you've got to keep the whole law. And remind you of verse 10, if you do that and you break the law in one point, you're under its curse. It never blesses, it never encourages, it never empowers, it has no mercy, it never saves, it can't give life. All it can do is to curse. And having turned to Christ and covered with the righteousness of Christ, why do you go back, as Paul afterward talks, to things of the world, things that are of the flesh, things that do not glorify God? What I'm pleading for in these days is that you must believe in the sufficiency of the work of Christ at the cross and in resurrection. That when you and I are saved, we receive the Spirit of God into our lives, and He must live the life through us. You can't do it. God has no confidence in your flesh nor anybody else's flesh. But He has great confidence in His Son. He has great confidence in the Spirit of God who indwells us. And when you and I yield ourselves to Him and let the Spirit of God have His right of way in our hearts and lives, then there'll be something of the character of God, the righteous character of God, evident in what we do and what we say and how we live. I just plead with your heart today to notice these first 12 verses of chapter 3 of Galatians. The testimony of Abraham, the testimony of the Scriptures, that no man, no woman, nobody is ever saved except on the ground of faith. The Lord bless you today for His name's sake.